are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody, or happy Thursday whenever you're listening to this. Posting middle of the day Wednesday today as we prepare for Game 7 of Timberwolves Kings, which will be played on Fox Sports North this evening, Wednesday evening. So if you're listening to this before the game, hopefully this serves as a good primer and not too much of a, well, it will be a spoiler if you don't remember or haven't seen the game or want to be surprised. I guess maybe stop listening, but then please come back and listen once you've listened to it. See if your thoughts and observations align with my own. If you're listening to this on Thursday, hopefully you did watch the replay of the game from 2004. If not, hopefully we can paint a little bit of a picture for you here today. We're going to talk through that Game 7 win over the Kings from the 2004 Western Conference Finals. Again, the game's on Fox Sports North, I believe at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening Central Time. So, and then also later this week on Friday, we're going to do the same thing in our final episode of the week here on Locked On Wolves. We're going to pick one of the Wolves-Lakers games that was rebroadcast on NBA TV not that long ago. I'll do a rewatch of that and talk through the high and low points. We'll also do studs and duds, as listeners, regular listeners of this podcast know we do after regular season Timberwolves games here in the 2019-20 season. We're going to do the same thing for Wolves-Kings and then also for this Wolves-Lakers game that we'll look at later this week. First off the top, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so we're going to kind of go through this game, do basically a quick summary, some of the, and then I'm going to look at some key observations, some that are just kind of fun about watching 2004 basketball. And in this, the year 2020, things are way different now. Some general observations, things that I guess had just forgotten over the last 16 years related to that Wolves team and that Kings team. And then I'm also going to do studs and duds as we tend to do here after current season Wolves games and take a look at who played well and who didn't for the Timberwolves. First, the opening observations that I had in this game. First of all, Kevin Harlan and Doug Collins called the game. So a pretty entertaining duo. Kevin Harlan, of course, is awesome. Doug Collins was okay, had some observations that weren't my favorite. He seemed to get really upset, for instance, about teams trying to play too flashy, doesn't like emotion, was really worried about Mike Bibby and Sam Cassell arguing calls and showing emotion, was upset at Mike Bibby for some sloppy turnovers because of flashy play, things like that, that seemed a little old school, comments that we wouldn't hopefully see as much today on a broadcast. But that was one thing. Also, in case you forgot this, the Target Center floor, which I guess now is two floors ago, used to have parquet floors, which obviously I knew that. It just never really clicked with me after parquet kind of moved out. I'm pretty sure Boston's the only floor that has it now. Maybe Portland, probably not anymore. But there aren't that many floors with the parquet design. So that was fun too, to remember that. But anyways, once we get into the game, it was very clear what area you're watching. There were no on-ball screens until roughly the 8 minute and 30 second mark. So basically 3.5 minutes into the game, no pick and rolls, were ran by either team, which is obviously pick and roll is essentially the staple of the modern day NBA offense. Of course, there were barely any three-pointers attempted. The first three-point attempt didn't come until the 9:43 mark of the first quarter. Doug Christie had the first make of the game. It wasn't until the 4:48 mark in the first quarter. So over 7 minutes into the game before a made three-pointer. The Timberwolves went most of the game with only one three-pointer, and that came in, I think partway through the third quarter before they got a second one. But the rest of the first quarter, it was a 4-2 game until the first timeout at the 7:20 mark. So 4-2 in the first 5 minutes of the game. One thing I did write down in the first quarter was the spacing in Flip Saunders' offense. He was always thought of as a good offensive mind, especially for that era of basketball when a lot of teams were shooting mid-range jumpers. Saunders was good at getting his guys open mid-range jumpers. And well, we know now long twos don't make a lot of sense from an analytical perspective. If you're going to scheme for open or for mid-range jumpers, scheme to get open ones. And the Wolves did a pretty good job of that, even without really having much in the way of a three-point threat. Sam Cassell, of course, is a good three-point shooter. Latrell Sprewell was pretty average. Nobody else in that starting lineup was an above-average three-point shooter. And somehow the Wolves were still able to get some open shots. The Sam Cassell, Kevin Garnett two-man game was really on point early in the game, and the Wolves actually built a 21-11 lead with only 2 minutes left in the first quarter. Ultimately, after the first quarter, Minnesota led this game by 22-16 mark. So a strong first quarter for Minnesota, and really kind of continued that progress in the second quarter. Some quick notable first quarter stats. Kevin Garnett had 7 points, 6 rebounds in the first quarter, 3 steals and 2 assists just in the first quarter. Sam Cassell had 11 points on 5 of 8 shooting, a couple rebounds and a block. The entire Timberwolves starting lineup was a positive in the plus minus, and they had 2 guys play the entire first quarter in Garnett and Latrell Sprewell. For the Kings, after the first quarter, Weber had 6 points and looked pretty good early. Had 6 points, 4 rebounds. Christie had 5 points, 2 assists, but he had committed 3 turnovers. And the Kings overall were just really struggling on offense. The second quarter, things slowed down even more than they did in the first quarter, and both teams really struggled to score. Peja Stojakovic missed all 5 of his shot attempts in the second quarter, although he did... He was active and was a big part of what the Kings were trying to do. Garnett also missed all 4 of his shot attempts in the second quarter. He had 7 rebounds in the frame. However, Cassell only scored 2 points. Latrell Sprewell had 5. Wally Szczerbiak was huge in the second quarter for the Wolves. Wally scored basically 3 baskets in a row. He ended up with Mike Bibby guarding him for stretches and took him down in the post, hit a couple turnaround jumpers, got into the paint a couple of times. And then for a while, Rodney Buford came off the bench. Remember, Anthony Peeler was suspended in this game after his altercation with Garnett in game six. And Rodney Buford, it was an okay defender, but he couldn't really guard Wally, at least not at this point in the game. The second quarter also featured one of my favorite all-time Wolves highlights, which was Kevin Garnett grabbed Peja Stojakovic's putback attempt out of the air. Instead of just blocking it, he literally snatched it out of the air and started a fast break. But then a bad pass, I think by Sprewell, ended the fast break, or the ball ended up going out of bounds, not to Garnett's fault, and ruined what would have been an all-time great highlight, but still an awesome highlight that I was on most Kevin Garnett highlight reels in a Timberwolves uniform. So that was awesome. He didn't get any rest. Garnett didn't until the under 9 minutes left in the second quarter. They were up 9 when he went to the bench, came back just a couple minutes later. Overall, in the first half, Garnett was okay, but struggled mightily when he was on the floor in the second quarter. By the time the game got to halftime, the Timberwolves were up by 10, and the Sacramento Kings had just 31 points in the entire first half, shot 33% from the field. 31 was their lowest scoring half in a game over the course of the entire season. Not all that surprising. The Wolves weren't a whole lot better, 39% from the floor, but they were up 41-31. Free throw attempts, Minnesota was 8 of 9 at the line. Sacramento was just 4 of 11 on free throw shooting. So really the Kings were just shooting themselves in the foot with poor free throw shooting and overall poor shooting from the floor. So the Wolves being up 10 at halftime was good, but with how bad Sacramento had played, it was disappointing that they weren't up by more. The third quarter featured a lot of Latrell Sprewell early. He scored 8 points in the first 3.5 minutes of the quarter. He attacked the basket frequently, was finally looking like he was going to come alive. That was really the only stretch he did much in this game. He struggled in the first half, struggled down the stretch. We'll get more into his individual performance in a little bit. But he really gave him a spark at the start of the third quarter. And then all of a sudden there were turnover issues. And it wasn't just Sprewell, it was Sam Cassell, who clearly was laboring through the hip injury, which then caused back pain. They even mentioned on the broadcast he was getting treatment on the bench, some sort of muscle stimulator or something on his back when he was sitting. And there were a couple times where you could actually see him mouth to people, or, you know, visibly he was in pain and trotting up the court. Cassell was obviously grimacing and in a lot of pain throughout the game. Some of those issues came up in the third quarter. Finally, about midway through, as the Kings went on an 11-2 run and took a 1-point lead at the 240 mark, Garnett finally came to life. And the Wolves kind of pushed back towards the end of the third quarter. They were up by 62-60 going to the fourth after Sacramento had grabbed a quick lead. Gary Trent missed a layup at the buzzer of the third quarter that would have given the Wolves a 2-possession lead. Trent only played 5 minutes in this game, had a wide open layup and missed it on a really good pass, I think from Cassell. And the Wolves were up 62-60 going to the fourth quarter, which of course now would be a pretty tame halftime score in the NBA in 2020. At the time, it was low scoring, but it wasn't absurdly low scoring, 62-60 going to the fourth quarter. Next up, we're going to wrap up the game, talk about the fourth quarter, what happened down the stretch, and then I'll talk about my general observations of the game and what this game looked like compared to today's game before we get into individual studs and duds. Heading into the fourth quarter of this game, the Wolves are up 62-60. Kevin Garnett was running the point guard at the start of the fourth, Sam Cassell on the bench, and Garnett running the point, which he did a lot of in the Lakers series. We talked about this the other day, too much of it. Obviously, it ended up really, really hindering what he was able to do offensively. He had a lot of extra pressure and stress put on him. He was able to be pretty effective in the fourth quarter of this game, only had one bad turnover. In the fourth quarter alone, Garnett ended, scored 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, 1 steal, only the 1 turnover, no assists, but he did run the point for the first part of the quarter. Cassell only played 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. The Wolves were trying to play a little bit of offense, defense, keep him as fresh as possible. And actually throughout the fourth, Wally Zerbeck, Fred Hoiberg, and Trenton Hassel were kind of rotating in and out of the game to try and keep people fresh and provide the optimal balance of offense and defense. Garnett had another one of his all-time great highlights at the 5:03 mark in the fourth, with a crossover on Chris Webber and a dunk, putting the Wolves up 74-68, increasing the lead to 6 points. And if you're scoring at home, yes, that means the Kings scored just 8 points over the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. The Wolves themselves just had 12 points over the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter, as the fatigue really started to set in for both these teams after what was a relative offensive explosion in the third quarter, with the Kings outscoring the Wolves in the third frame 29-21. Things slowed back down again at the start of the fourth. As much as Garnett had struggled in stretches, he was super, super effective early in the fourth quarter. He scored, of the Wolves' first 17 points in the fourth quarter, him and Cassell combined to score all 17. Garnett scored 13 of them. And actually, by the time the fourth quarter was over, the scoring totals for the Wolves in the fourth quarter alone: Garnett 14 points, Sam Cassell 6, Latrell Sprewell 1 point, 1-2 free throw shooting. Nobody else scored for the Wolves in the fourth quarter. In fact, there were only 3 other shot attempts. Wally Zerbeck attempted 1 shot in 9 minutes, Fred Hoiberg 1 shot attempt in 9 minutes, Gary Trent 1 shot attempt in 2 minutes. And Irvin Johnson, Trenton Hassel, none of those guys, Sam Cassell actually as well, none of those guys actually attempted field goals. Cassell made all 6 of his free throw attempts. Garnett was 6 of 9 from the field. Sprewell 0 of 2 in the fourth quarter. Garnett was all things to the Timberwolves down the stretch in this game, which of course was the story of the season for the Wolves. Garnett had a big time steal on Brad Miller with the Wolves up 4 with 35 seconds left in the game. He was guarding Miller on the perimeter, tipped the ball and got the steal. Then on the other end, he went 1-of-2 from the free throw line. Kings came down and scored. Sprewell then went 1-of-2 at the free throw line, and the Wolves were only up by 1 with 16.2 seconds left. Cassell made both free throw attempts with 16.2 seconds left, putting the Wolves up 3. And then Garnett blocked Brad Miller's layup attempt after an offensive rebound with 2.5 seconds left. The Kings essentially had 2 seconds left to inbound the ball after it got knocked out again. So they had 2.2 seconds to inbound the ball. Chris Webber got a fairly open look from the right wing. Of course, he wasn't an outstanding 3-point shooter. Unfortunately for him, the shot rimmed in and out. And I remember watching this live thinking, there's no way this doesn't go in. And it was about halfway down before it popped out and the Wolves escaped with an 83-80 win. For Webber, he had really struggled overall in this game, except for the first few minutes. It seemed like between the age and the injuries and the fatigue, all those things caught up to Webber, and he really struggled. And we'll get into that here in a minute from my general observations. But the fourth quarter was all Kevin Garnett. The Kings didn't really have anybody take over. It was kind of a balanced Mike Bibby, Doug Christie attack. Each of those guys hit big 3-pointers to get the Kings back into the game. But Webber was 1 of 5 in the fourth quarter. Divots played 3 minutes, didn't score. Brad Miller played 12 minutes off the bench, was 2 of 7 shooting for just 4 points in the fourth quarter. Peja Stojakovic, 1 of 2 shooting, didn't attempt a 3-pointer, and he played basically the whole fourth quarter, only had the 2 points. So the Kings really just struggled to get into their offense. There was a little bit of, it didn't look like Rick Adelman's offense. Things really kind of tightened up. Part of that, again, fatigue, short bench. The Kings effectively only played seven guys in this game. Darius Sengalia played for like 4 seconds. Otherwise, it was Brad Miller and Rodney Buford off the bench and the 5 starters. And it didn't look like Adelman's offense. It just looked like a bunch of guys kind of going one-on-one and hoping that they could get an open 3 at some point when they were trailing. And it just didn't work out for the Kings, thankfully for the Wolves. Some general observations from this game that I wanted to point out before we get into individual studs and duds. I mentioned this off the top. There was just a general a lack of ball screens in this game. There were some as the game went on, but especially early throughout the game, it just the pick and roll is such a big part of the game now, and it was just kind of a not used all that often then. Adelman began to use it a lot more throughout his career as head coach, you know, as things went on, and he coached it with Houston and then ultimately with Minnesota. That was just kind of a big observation that I had, kind of overarching. The other thing is the lack of scoring in this game. A lot of this was due to the lack of 3-point shooting. You know, neither team had a ton of guys that shot a lot of threes. Sacramento was 8 of 19 beyond the arc, 42% for the game. The Wolves were just 3 of 10, 30%. The Wolves shot 10 3-pointers in the entire game. One was a forced three from Garnett at the end of the shot clock that he buried in the fourth quarter. Sprewell was 1 of 5 from deep. Cassell was 1 of 2. Hoiberg and Gary Trent, each Trent's was a heave, so that barely counts. Hoiberg's missed a 3-pointer in the fourth quarter, 3 of 10, and the Kings were just 8 of 19. So total, the team shot 29 3-pointers in this game. Of course, the current Timberwolves team has attempted essentially twice that multiple times this year by themselves. So clearly times have changed. That's a big part of the low scoring. Also poor free throw shooting. The Kings were a horrendous 8 of 17 from the line in this one. I mentioned they were 4 of 11 in the first half. That means that they were 4 of 8 in the second half. Excuse me, 4 of 6. They only attempted 6 free throws in the second half of this game. Were overall 8 of 17. That's 47.1%. The Timberwolves were a lot better. They shot 20 of 27 from the line, 74.1%. And you know, that'll get it done. The Kings didn't get there enough, and they also didn't make enough of their free throws. For the Wolves to get to the free throw line that often was impressive. They did shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers at this point in time. Cassell was able to draw a lot of fouls with the Kings in the bonus at the end, and Garnett did a really good job of getting to the free throw line throughout the game. And then also fatigue. I mentioned this, but both these teams, we talked about this the other day on the podcast when we looked at the series as a whole. These teams were notorious. Both Flip Saunders and Rick Adelman as head coaches were notorious for playing short benches and really overextending their starters. Adelman did that throughout this series. But in this game, I mean, he had four guys play 39 minutes or more. Brad Miller played 34 off the bench. And for the Wolves, they at least got a couple more guys involved. They had two guys play over 40 minutes. Cassell played 38. And then they had three guys off the bench that each played more than 15 minutes. Gary Trent played 5. So Saunders did a little better at getting guys some run. But between this being a 7-game series at the end of a long season, both coaches playing shorter benches, lots of injuries, that helped suppress this score. And overall, Chris Webber really struggled. I mean, he was the one that was the most obvious, that struggled more than really anybody else on the floor. He was clearly tired, clearly struggling to score in the paint. At one point, Doug Collins even noted that he's finessing the ball a lot more than he did when he was younger. I think he was 30 at the point of this game. He was 8 of 17 from the floor, 16 and 8 on the night, 0 of 3 from the free throw line, struggled to play defense, got crossed over by Garnett with no help defense behind him. Just a poor game from Chris Webber, and too bad from a guy who obviously was a all-star player during his career and would have had a higher, would have ended up having an even better career had it not been for injury issues. But he was probably the one that stood out, that struggled the most in this game. Mike Bibby ended up just shooting 4 of 13 from the field, also struggled, you know, basically 30% for the game. And then Rodney Buford, playing instead of Anthony Peeler, was 1 of 6 from the field off the bench in 16 minutes. And clearly not having Peeler really hurt the Kings in this game. All right, we're going to put a bow on this with some studs and duds from the Timberwolves side here in just a moment. Picking studs and duds for this game from the Timberwolves side is fairly easy. Kevin Garnett is obviously the first stud that comes to mind. He did struggle a little in the middle stages of the game, but overall was the reason that the Timberwolves won. As mentioned, had 14 points in the fourth quarter alone. Finished with 32 and 21. He had 13 first half rebounds. He had 7 in the first quarter, 21 for the game. 32 points, 21 rebounds, 5 blocks, 4 steals, 2 assists. 12 of 23 from the floor, so over 50%. Made his only 3-point attempt. 7 of 11 from the free throw line. Got to the line consistently throughout the game. Ended up being just a plus one in a game the Wolves won by 3. Played almost 46 minutes. Just had the one brief break at the start of the second quarter. Didn't sit at all in the second half. And was just clearly there was nothing left in the tank by the end. But had that amazing crossover on Webber and dunk. And then right after that, you could just tell that he was... fatigued, I guess, to put it lightly. But Garnett was phenomenal. He was the MVP that season of the regular season and just was the absolute reason the Timberwolves won this game. You can't say enough about his performance. And at the end of the game, to look up, I mean, clearly he was dominating the glass. He was being effective defensively, as always. But to look up and see that he had 32 and 21 with five blocks, four steals, and a couple assists, just two turnovers, was awesome. Just a really, really great game from Garnett, to say the least. Wally Szczerbiak came in strong off the bench, scored 10 points. They were all in the first half, all in that stretch when the Wolves needed him. But that was important, and it kept the Wolves at, or kept the Kings at arm's length from the Timberwolves at the time. He finished with 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal in 19 minutes, 4 of 7 shooting. Again, only attempted the one shot in the fourth quarter. I think the Wolves could have done a better job of getting him some shots in the flow of the offense. But that stretch in the second quarter, they were basically just running the offense through Wally Szczerbiak, initially with Garnett on the bench, and even when he was back on the floor, the Wolves were calling sets for Wally every time down the court because the Kings really couldn't guard him. I mean, they tried Mike Bibby, they tried Rodney Buford, and those guys couldn't really slow him down. Szczerbiak was a plus nine. He was a team high plus nine in his 19 minutes. As the Wolves were going offense, defense in the fourth quarter, the Wolves were better with him on the court than they were with, say, Trenton Hassell, and that was pretty clear. The third stud of this game for the Timberwolves, we're going to give it to Sam Cassell. He clearly was laboring towards, really, throughout the night. He had such a hot first quarter, 11 points in the first quarter. He had scored 40-plus points in game one of this series. Everybody knew he was injured, but was still really effective. His clutch free throw shooting down the stretch was massive. He ended up with 23 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 6 of 12 from the floor, 10 of 11 from the free throw line. He made one of the Timberwolves' three threes on the night, had the 7 assists, 4 turnovers, 4 rebounds and a block in this game, and was a plus 2 in 38 minutes. Was generally just really good, really solid, other than that quick stretch in the second half where he really struggled. He was solid, and it's exactly what the Wolves needed out of their second star, which is actually a pretty good segue into the duds portion. The third star on this team, Latrell Sprewell, struggled outside of that quick, hot start out of halftime. Sprewell had 14 points, 4 rebounds. He shot just 6 of 16 from the field, so 37.5%. 1 of 5 beyond the arc, 20%. 1 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 assists, 2 steals, 6 turnovers. So 2 assists to 6 turnovers, 20% from 3-point, 37.5% from the field, was a minus 2 in 43 minutes. Was okay defensively, but really, the Wolves did okay against big men, Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, Brad Miller for the most part, but they struggled with Bibby, mostly with Bibby and Doug Christie, and a little bit with, to a lesser extent, Stojakovic didn't have a great game. But Sprewell was just okay defensively and didn't do enough to augment that on offense, and gets a dud for this game, despite the fact, I mean, he was active and he played 43 minutes, you know, second most on the team, but it just wasn't quite what the Wolves needed in a game 7, and thankfully Garnett did enough to overcome that. He, again, Sprewell scored just the 1 point in the fourth quarter, while Cassell had 6 and Garnett had 13. The second dud, mostly because we always need a second dud, but actually this one is pretty easy too. It's going to be Mark Madsen. First time we've mentioned him in this episode of the podcast. He played 15 minutes, didn't attempt a shot, had only 2 rebounds. He had 3 turnovers in 15 minutes. All 3 were he simply just dropped the ball out of bounds. He, you know, maybe one of the 3 passes was a little behind him, but all 3 times, all he needed to do was catch the ball, take a power dribble and dunk or make a layup. And he fumbled the ball out of bounds 3 times in his just 15 minutes and otherwise didn't touch the ball on offense. I'm not even sure he touched the ball on the perimeter and, you know, rotated the ball. I think he just basically touched the ball 3 times and kicked it out of bounds 3 times and only had 2 rebounds in 15 minutes. Not what you want to see out of Mark Madsen. Shocking to me that he got that much playing time. Gary Trent wasn't great either, but he somehow got 3 shots up in 5 minutes where Madsen shot the ball 0 times in 15 minutes and Trent didn't have any rebounds in his 5 minutes. So combined, those guys played 20 minutes, 0 of 3 shooting, 2 total rebounds, 3 turnovers and 5 fouls. So there's just another example of just how thin the Wolves bench was. Michael Olowokandi didn't play in this game. I don't recall if he was injured. I believe he had an injury. But he did not appear in this game. Oliver Miller didn't either. Derek Martin didn't play, and he was supposedly the backup point guard. But while Cassell was on the bench, Garnett and Fred Hoiberg handled his backup point guard duties. All 3 of those guys, Olowokandi, Miller, and Martin, played a lot more in the Lakers series, like we talked about the other day, but they were not factors at all in this game, didn't even see the court. All right, that really wraps up what I wanted to talk through in this game. If you haven't watched it yet, please please see the rewatch on Fox Sports North. And last check, this game was still available on YouTube as well. So go ahead and take a look at this game. It's a lot of fun, a lot of fun for me to see how different the game is today than it was then. And look at the Timberwolves offense and how they ran to the offense to get Garnett the ball in the mid post, in the low post, and occasionally handling on the perimeter. But I mean, think about how different that would be today. And the Wolves would be getting Garnett the ball right around the three-point arc and letting him go to work that way, probably running a lot more point forward, even though Garnett famously didn't really enjoy playing point guard. But, you know, using him more like the Wolves are using Towns now, and obviously Towns has better range than Garnett, but Garnett's handle and his length and athleticism and just how differently he likely would be used in today's game if he were in his prime now versus then, but still used so effectively. I mean, 32 points on 23 shots while only taking one three-pointer, that's good work. And clearly he was a phenomenal offensive talent. And to see that on display and see him really will the Timberwolves to a victory is just a ton of fun. All right, we're going to be back here on Friday morning. We will have a podcast up regarding one of those Lakers Wolves Western Conference Finals games. Kind of a little bit of a sour note, I guess, to end this mini series on. And then next week we'll move on to a brand new topic. We'll move on from the 2003-2004 Timberwolves. Appreciate you sticking with the series and hanging with us as we relive the best season in Timberwolves franchise history. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.